I'm John Hendricks. We'll begin updating you every 15 minutes, starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. KGEZ 2020 News is now on standby.
And now, Coco Enterprises presents How to Talk to Your Advisor with Drew Coco and Tom Shook. To get us started, here's John Hendricks.
Well, I'm sure that our wallets are going to be just wide open here to hear
wide
what you guys
open.
Have to say.
We're going to open up our wallets a little bit for this one. Do you still carry a leather or just a wallet, physical
You know
wallet?
What? I did for years and years, and now I've got one of these nifty little...
Oh yeah, a little card holder.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it still holds your cash in your cards.
Yeah.
It's a physical thing.
Yeah. I just don't carry all my cards anymore.
Right.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. A lot of it's on your phone. A lot of it is digital.
Yeah.
As what we're going to get into today. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about digital currencies. Last week, we talked about the Fed One program, which the Federal Reserve is going to help facilitate a lot of these electronic money transactions. And today, it's in the same realm of that, where technology meets finance. And a lot of folks have heard this as the CBDC, or the Central Bank Digital Currency. And that is a pretty hot topic right now, and we're going to get into that.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. You make sure you get the C on the end of it, or where else we're talking about something completely
Not
different.
Yet.
Yeah.
CBDC.
So the one thing that, so it's completely different from the Fed Now program, which is a faster way to move, currency around. This is, like Drew said, the complete opposite, where it's now the realm of digital currency. We're getting rid of cash. So, you may not need your wallet anymore with this type of currency, which is going to be probably better for your hips. But there's a lot of other things going on with it. So the first thing is that this is not Bitcoin. It's not Ether. It's not that kind of stuff. This is actually on a philosophical level, it's the exact opposite.
Right. And a lot of folks, they hear the term digital currency and they think, oh, that's Bitcoin.
Right.
That's Binance. Yeah. That's Ethereum. A completely different, like Tom said.
That's right.
With cryptocurrencies, those are digital, but they are completely unregulated as of right now.
Yeah.
Now, the digital currency, specifically the CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency, will be 100% regulated.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference.
Yeah, you got to underline that one because it's a huge difference. Bitcoin, no regulation, Central Bank Digital Currency, 100% regulated.
And of course, our central bank is the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve would be the big player in this.
Yeah,
they would be with the central agency, the central bank that's going to be regulating all of the transactions in this thing.
Exactly. So the big question is why? Like, why do we want to do this? And probably the biggest reason that the Federal Reserve is starting the process of exploring what a digital currency would be, so that they're basically just in this process now where they're just trying to figure out what questions they even want to ask. But the reason that they even want to go down this road is because it's essentially FOMO, fear of missing out, because other countries are doing it. And so the biggest reason is that the Federal Reserve wants to make sure that the U.S. monetary system is competitive with the rest of the world.
Right. The world is advancing technologically, and we want to keep up, so to speak. And the main benefit of this, if we went to a full regulated digital currency, is efficiency and speed. Mm-hmm. Now, CBDCs, they promise faster and more streamlined transactions compared to the traditional banking system. Yeah. Right now, as we kind of talked about last week, financial transactions, they can take a long time,
know,
1 to 3 days or more for it to settle. There's, it's banks talking to banks. That's kind of the old school plumbing of our financial system. This would streamline everything. It would be instantaneous and it would be efficient. So that would be the main benefit
Yeah, we're talking like lightning fast.
Exactly, instantaneous.
So like right now, it can take up to 3 days. Even federal wires, it still takes like a couple hours. You have to wait to the end of the day. This would be, instantaneous.
And a lot of businesses, when you use cards, there's a transaction fee, and anywhere between 1 to 3%. So that in theory would go away.
Yeah.
So that would relieve some of their business expenses. They could pass it on to the consumer. Maybe it would help curb inflation. So there's some benefits there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was listed as a benefit, and Drew and I kind of talked about this, and it's going to be in the benefits column. We're going to put an asterisk by it, but one of the things that they want to do is that there's a section of the population called they call them unbanked persons. So these are people that do not have bank accounts. And there's, people in the U.S. Don't have them, and then there's people in other countries that don't have them. And when you by creating a digital currency, you theoretically would not necessarily need a bank. You could basically make transactions without a bank. And according to some of the preliminary studies that Federal Reserves and other countries have done, they can theoretically help these unbanked persons, you know, transact in the digital age without necessarily having to open up a bank account.
It's so, no unbanked person left behind.
Exactly, yeah. So, now there's some caveats that we'll probably get into later with that. You can probably already, ascertain what those might be. But yeah, that is listed as one of the benefits of...
financial inclusion.
Exactly.
Everybody,
yeah.
Even if they don't have a bank account, they could be issued a card. A lot of folks, more folks than unbanked persons, have smartphones. Yeah. So that would be a way to access their digital wallets. But, let's just say this now. We're going to list all of the pros. We're going to list all of the cons. And we're going to withhold our opinions just for the purpose of this talk for now. But, financial inclusion is a big pro. And another big asterisk next to this pro is... it would help facilitate stability and trust. Now, that could also be a huge con, and we're going to get into that in a second. But the idea is, if you just have one central bank controlling this thing, it's going to be more stable. And it's as long as you have your trust in the Fed, then you don't have anything else to worry about.
That's right. So it's
what about the people from Jekyll Island?
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You ever read that book? Mm-hmm. About that?
It's
one of those things. It's like, that's a great, what could possibly go wrong? We'll get into that to a little bit. But like right now, the monetary system, when the Fed tries to influence monetary system, it's like driving like a ship. Is that you make a turn, but everything's got to be done slowly, and then the inputs that you make don't exactly take effect right away. You have to wait for the momentum to slow down and for things to change. And if they had a digital currency, this could theoretically happen a lot, like driving
Because when the Fed right now, one of their tools to influence monetary policy is the federal funds rate, as we've seen them jack. Up over the last few months. With this new CBDC, they could essentially just influence everyone's interest rates immediately.
Yeah.
It takes a while for those interest rates to trickle into the economy. It's supposed to influence banks. It's supposed to influence mortgage rates. It's supposed to influence the consumer. And it takes a long time. And like Tom said, they're steering that ship. A lot of times it's a moving target. Well, the Fed, if they were able to do so through the CBDC, they could pretty much just implement monetary policy immediately.
Right. And one of the tools that they supposedly could do is have a better handle on inflation. The creation and destruction of currency essentially could happen faster with more accuracy is listed as one of the benefits.
Right.
So
those are all the good things. Those are all the pros that would be behind this if this actually happened. And
right.
We'll take a break. When we get back, we'll talk about the cons.
The Parkline Run is coming up this Saturday. This 5K, 10K, and half marathon event features a fun route along the Parkline Trail. Grab your friends and get signed up today at runsignup.com. All runners get a free entry into the after-party brewfest at Depot Park from 11 till 3, with fantastic local beer and wine and live music from Borderline Lucid. Food trucks on site, too. Proceeds from the race and the brewfest benefit Rails to Trails and the Kalispell Downtown Association. We'll see you downtown at the Parkline Run this Saturday.
Hanson's Hardware. We make it easy for hands-off people like you.
Hi, this is Gary from Hanson's Hardware. It is getting a little chilly out there at night, but there's still plenty of paint season left to get that house, deck, or garage painted or sealed before winter. We have PPG paint, flood, and Prolux stains that are best of quality, as well as our own True Value line of paints and stains. At Hanson's Hardware, we have more of everything.
Hanson's Hardware. We make it easy for hands-on people like you.
Let's return to How to Talk with Your Advisor with Drew Coco and Tom Shook.
So we were talking about central bank digital currencies, or CBDC, and we just kind of went through some of the purported benefits of having a digital currency. Now we kind of get into the cons, and a lot of the benefits that were listed also fall into the con category.
Depending on what your initial thoughts are towards this, it could be either a pro or a con.
Exactly. So one of the big ones, this is casually listed on there, but it's privacy concerns. And when you go into this, Drew said this earlier, but basically we could probably do an entire show on privacy concerns of central bank digital currency. Because essentially what you're doing is that if one organization controls all the U.S.'s transactions, they have access to all that data and can see exactly what everybody's buying, when they're buying it, how much they're buying it of, and they can watch how much you're paying for items, and they basically just get this huge amount of data on the economy in real time in one spot.
Right.
And so, you know, they can track anything, and you know, they can pretty much watch whatever you're doing. If you're making transactions with digital currency, they can pretty much see it.
This is the big one. These are the videos you hear and the interviews that you're hearing. People are talking about these privacy concerns. And you know, my opinion, I don't really like the idea, but people automatically assume the worst. So they think just because the government can do something, they're going to do something. They're saying, well, if they do the CBDC, if I go to buy a gas vehicle, they're going to penalize me for not letting me, you know, for buying an EV vehicle. They're going to withhold some of my money, or just it's going to go poof if I don't vote a certain way, those kind of things.
Yeah.
So they really do assume the worst case scenario if this did happen. But it's, yeah, putting all this responsibility in the hands of Big Brother could come with some serious concerns.
Yeah, and you know, when you look up the stuff, I mean, you can go down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories. I don't want to say we're there, but you know, there certainly is a lot of concerns.
Right. And really, they're not even conspiracies yet. They're just potential, you know, concerns.
Right.
You know, and they do go pretty deep, but
yeah,
I know what you mean.
For sure. So the other one is... one of the biggest questions, at least in my mind, that raises that, how do banks... the traditional banking system is in that. How does that fit into a digital currency? So is that if you have the Federal Reserve like opening wallets, you know, how are you, because essentially banking right now is like the engine of the economy. It allows people to make loans, grow their businesses, you know, it basically kind of oils the economy, lubricates the economy so that you have money to grow your business with. If all that goes to the Federal Reserve, you know, how are they going to work the bank? Are they going to work the banking system? Right. How is that going to play into it?
Banks are a huge part of our economy. And you know, what's going to happen to my Glacier Bank stock if we go on to the CBDC?
Exactly. So, you know, and there's been some proposed ideas out there where, you know, maybe the central bank doesn't issue digital wallets. Maybe that's something that's controlled by individual banks. So, you know, banking would essentially look like it does now. Instead of opening a bank account, you would open a digital wallet.
Right. And it's all conjecture at this point because they're still in the pilot. They're still researching these things. But, you know, people are thinking, well, how would this actually look? And these are the important questions to ask. And another concern is the technological challenges. Now, this is assuming that this thing actually takes place and it's rolled out and 300 million Americans have digital wallets attached to the CBD system. How would that affect cyber attacks? Because right now, cyber attacks are still a really big problem, but there's so many fish in the barrel. You know, there's these transfer agents, there's banks, there's individuals. Now, if all of that money was held in one unit, well, all of the hackers, the cyber attackers could just look at the Fed. It's all under one roof. So there could be some security threats there for sure.
Yeah. And then this one, kind of getting back to one of the pros, is that, you know, one of the purported benefits of digital currency is that they can use this to help the unbanked population. But if you dig, at least in the U.S., if you dig into that unbanked population a little bit, supposedly about 4% U.S. is unbanked or people without bank accounts. But when they've done a few surveys that say that the people who are unbanked are decidedly, like, they chose to be unbanked. They have problems with fractional banking, so they opt out of the traditional bank. So they have like cash on their mattress, they keep it in their house, but they're unbanked by choice.
And this could potentially have more harm than potential good, because a lot of these unbanked individuals, like you said, Tom, it's by choice. They work under the table. It's great. They don't want their assets to be seen. That might impact their some of their payments they receive from the government, their food stamps, you know, social, you know, those kind of things. So if all of a sudden the federal government knows exactly how much you're making, exactly how much you have, well, you might not qualify for as many benefits as you do before.
Yeah. And certainly we're not espousing anything you know, illegal, but that's what they, you know, this 4% has basically said, I do not want a bank account for, you know, list whatever reason here. So by thereby creating a digital currency, you're not exactly going to, they're not willfully going to join the banking system.
You're forcing people to have a benefit that they don't really want.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then a lot of folks right now, they're comparing this to China. So China is the big, this is the boogeyman under the bed right now. China, they're actually not the first country to do this. A few countries have already implemented this. The Bahamas was the first country. They have the sand dollar.
Yeah.
And in 2020, they had the first digital centralized currency. India's doing it some. China's the big one, though. They're actually paying some of their government officials in some of their bigger cities in their digital yuan. You can pay for college tuition, you can pay for groceries, your utilities, your tax payments, all with a digital yuan. So they're actually doing it. But China has a lot of problems. And for the most part, Americans don't want to look like China at all. Yeah. So that's is that the road we're going down? Are we going to, is this going to be the next Chinese CBDC or not? And that's what has folks concerned.
Yeah, and thankfully, so right now, at least, the state of the U.S. digital currency is just, is in the very early beginning. So, you know, Jerome Powell said that they're definitely considering it. But again, like the point where they're at is like, we're just trying to come up with the questions that we should be asking about digital currency. We're gathering research. We're looking at what other countries have done and seeing how that might fit into the U.S. So the official word from the government right now is it's very early stage, like very exploratory. You know, we're not actually rolling it out.
It's going to be a long time. You can't just turn on 300 million digital wallets overnight. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of voting rounds before this thing takes place. And for the most part, Americans are different than the Chinese. We stand up on our hind legs and roar when we don't like something. So if this turns out to be something we don't like, it could get reversed really fast.
Obviously, you know, you don't want to be the first into this because there's a lot, you know, no thing is ever one thing in economics.
Right.
So when you introduce something like this into the economy, you have no idea what's going to happen. So yeah, caution, I think, is definitely warranted.
So CBDC is pretty interesting stuff to watch, and I guess we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah. Okay. Now that my head has exploded, you guys will leave me alone with it, huh?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us for Coco Enterprises, How to Talk to Your Advisor. We'll be here next Thursday at 12:45. If you missed some or you'd like to share it with friends, find today's and past shows on our Facebook page or online at kgez.com.